is Elaine, and today we're going to read the classic tale of The Little Mermaid by Robert Sabuda. Far out at sea, the water was as blue as the petals of the prettiest cornflower, and as clear as the purest glass. But the water was very deep, deeper than any anchor could hope to reach. Down at the very bottom of this deep dark sea, sea people, the most wonderful trees and plants grew there. Down in the deepest spot of all was the castle of the Sea King. The castle walls were built of coral, and the roof was made of shells that opened and closed with the current. The Sea King had been a widower for many years and lived with his beloved mother, who was devoted to her six granddaughters, the sea princesses. They were pretty children, but the youngest was the loveliest of them all. Her skin was as delicate as a rose leaf, and her eyes were as dark as the deepest ocean. Nothing pleased the six princesses more than to hear about the world of the humans above the sea. The grandmother told them all she knew about the ships, and the towns, and the people, and the animals. "When each of you turns 15, the grandmother said, "you will be able to float on the surface of the sea and sit on the rocks in the moonlight while the great ships sail past. You'll even be able to see the forest and towns in the distance, but you must never approach them." The following year, the eldest of the princesses celebrated her 15th birthday. Before she left on the journey of her first surface, she promised to tell her younger sisters everything she would see. The little sister could barely contain her curiosity to have some of the mysteries of the surface revealed. When the eldest sister returned from her adventure, she was practically bursting with excitement. She said there was a big town where the lights were twinkling like a hundred stars, and she could hear the sounds of music and the noise of clattering carts and people. And just because she could not get close to all those wonderful things, she longed for them even more. The youngest princess drank it all up. Later that evening, she imagined she could hear the sound of the church bells ringing all the way to the oceans to her. A year later, the second sister was allowed to go through the water and arrived at the surface just as the sun was setting. Another year passed, and the third sister went up. She was the boldest yet and swam all the way to a wide river that connected to the sea. She saw green hills and farms and magnificent manors. She came upon a group of children swimming in the water, even though they didn't have tails. But they became frightened and ran away. But she said she would never forget the beautiful green hills and the pretty little children who could swim in the water, even though they did not have tails. She stayed far in the water and played as whales sprouted water. When the fifth princess arrived at the surface, the sea was a deep green and the large icebergs were floating in it, glittering like diamonds. When the star became overcast and soon thunder and lightning flashed. Perhaps, like their grandma had told them, the surface was really dangerous after all. Finally, the littlest princess turned 15. "Come, let me dress you up like your other sisters," said your grandmother, as she put a wreath of white pearls in the child's hair. The old woman ordered 8 big oysters to nip tight on the princess's tail to show her the high rank. At last, it was time. "Farewell," the littlest princess said, as she rose to the water as lightly as a bubble moved to the surface. The sun had just set as she lifted her head to the waves, but the clouds were still tinted crimson and gold. The ocean was still and calm. A large ship drifted in the water. Music came from it, and sailors were singing and dancing on board. The little mermaid swam right up to a porthole on the side of a ship. She could see a group of people through the glass. Among them was a young prince, the most handsome man he had ever seen. Soon she discovered that music and singing was indeed a birthday celebration for him. When the young prince went onto the dock where sailors were dancing, hundreds of rockets swirled up in the sky and burst and broke apart in showers of light. He had never seen fireworks before, and as she stared amazed, it grew late, but the little mermaid could not take her eyes off the ship or the handsome prince. Soon the sea became restless, the waves rising higher and higher until they were like huge black mountains. The vessel groaned and creaked until its heavy planks burst from the heavy pounding on the sea. The mast slipped in two like a reed, and the ship lurched on one side. The little mermaids realized that the ship was in grave danger. The sailors became jumping overboard to save them from the coming ship. She looked for the young prince as soon as the ship was being fully torn apart, she saw him disappear between the depths of the sea. For just a second, she was quite pleased. She thought he was now gonna live in her world. Then she remembered that human beings could not live underwater. So she dove deeply and found him. By the morning, the storm had died down and there was not a trace of the ship. The prince's eyes were even closed. The little mermaid was reminded of the marble statue in her garden as she smoothed back his hair, wishing that he might live. Soon she saw the mainland and a small bay where the water was still. The little mermaid swam with the prince to the beach and laid him in the warm sunshine, making a pillow for his head with the sand. Belle sat nearby, so she swam further out from the shore and hid behind a large boulder so she may not be seen. Then she watched, hoping that someone would help the poor prince. Then a young girl came along. She seemed frightened for a moment, but then she went to the other humans for help. The little mermaid told the prince to come back, and she smiled at everyone around him. But there was no smile for the little mermaid because he had no idea that she had rescued him. After he was taken away, he felt so much sorrow that tears might have run down her face. But living in a watery world, mermaids could not make tears. She dove down in the water and returned to his father's palace. The sisters asked her what she had seen during her visit on the surface, but she was silent and told them nothing. Often she went back to the spot where she had left the prince, but she never saw him. And so she returned home filled with even greater sorrow than before. Her little comfort was sitting in her garden with her arms around the beautiful marble statue, which was so like the prince. Finally, she could keep the secret to herself no more and told her sisters everything. "Come, little sister," said the other princesses. Holding hands in one long row, they rose to the surface and swam where the prince's lavish palace stood. It was built of stone and had a long flight of marble steps that led straight down to the sea. Now that the little mermaid knew where the prince lived, he went back the time and time, swimming up the narrow channel to reach the marble balcony of the prince's room. She would suddenly float and gaze up at the young man, who thought he was completely alone in the bright moonlight. The little mermaid grew more and more fond of the human beings. Their world seemed much larger than her. "If human beings don't drown," said the little mermaid, "ask her grandmother, can they go on living forever if they don't die as we go down here in the sea?" "Yes, yes," replied the old woman. "They too must die, but when our life here ends, we merely turn into foam on the water. But human beings have souls that live forever. I would gladly live the rest of my life to become a human for only just one day," said the little mermaid. "Only if a human loved you with his heart and soul and took your hand in marriage and pledged to be faithful and true to you in all eternity. But that will never happen. Your fishtail, which we find so beautiful, is shocking to the humans and they turn away in fear. The little mermaid sighed and looked mournfully at her tail. "We must be satisfied with what we have," said the old woman. Later that evening, the merfolk gathered in the castle for a celebration. A broad stream flowed in the middle of the ballroom, and in it, mermen and mermaids were dancing to their own sweet songs. Their voices were lovelier than any human beings had ever been. The little mermaid sang more sweetly than everyone, and the audience nearly wept from the beauty of her voice. For a moment, there was joy in her heart, but then her thoughts turned to the world above. She was unable to forget the handsome prince and her great sorrow for lacking the soul that he had. He would do anything to be with him and earn a soul. But who could help her? Her sisters and her grandmother, who were kind and loving, but wanted her to simply accept her fate. It would be impossible to even consider her father for advice. The little mermaid slipped out of her father's castle, and while everyone's inside, still celebrating, she sat alone in her little garden, pondering what to do. She gazed up at the beautiful marble statue, wishing it would speak and tell her what to do. A long shadow slowly moved from the statue's face. She looked up and saw a dark figure swim through the water. The Sea Witch! The little mermaid was dreadfully afraid and shrank back behind the statue. Then it occurred to her that maybe the Sea Witch could help. Everyone said the old woman could do the most impossible things. Filled with fear and staying far away behind, the little mermaid began to follow the witch. After a lengthy journey, she came to a dead place in the sea, where there are no flowers growing and no seagrass, only a bare gray sand bottom. Then a witch approached her house, which was built of the bones of the shipwrecked sailors. The little mermaid drew closer. Then the old woman rolled around. "I know exactly what you're after," she cackled. "How stupid of you. You want to get rid of your tail and replace it with stumps and walk a human being so that a young prince will fall in love with you and you can win a soul." The witch let out such a loud, repulsive laugh that the little mermaid covered her ears. "I shall prepare a drink, and you shall swim to land before sunrise and swallow it. Your tail will split and shrink into human tails." "Oh, but it will hurt." "Oh my, yes, it will feel like a sharp sword splashing through you. All the sea will say that you're the loveliest human being you'll ever see. You will keep your great full movements, but every step you'll take will make you feel like you're walking on knives sharp enough to make your feet bleed. And if you are willing to endure all of this, then I can help you." "Yes," said the trembling little mermaid. "Then think about it carefully," croaked the witch. "Once you take the form of a human, you can never be a mermaid again. And the only way to get a soul is to win the prince's love. He must always have you in his thoughts and make you his wife. If the princess marries someone else, the very next day your heart will break and you'll become foam on the cresting waves." "I'm ready," said the little mermaid, turning as pale as death. "But you have to pay me. You're not getting anything for nothing. Help for nothing. You have the loveliest voice of anyone who dwells in the sea. You probably think you can charge the voice in your sweet, delicate voice. Well, now you have to give me. I demand your most prized possession as payment for the potion." "But if you take away my voice, what will I have left?" "Your lovely figure," said the witch, "your graceful movements, and your expressive eyes. With those, you can easily enchant a human heart. Where's your courage?" "And so be it," said the little mermaid. And the witch swam to a large pot to begin making the potions. She opened bottle after bottle of strange ingredients and began pouring them into the pot. Each time the witch added something new to the pot, it shook more and grew brighter. The sea witch, terrible at laughter, echoed all around. Soon the pot was shaking so much that it seemed to explode in a blinding flashlight. When the little mermaid's eyes opened, the sea witch's hideous face was so close to her that she cried out. But she realized she couldn't cry out. Her hands flew to her throat and she tried to make a sound. Nothing! Her voice was gone. "Everything has its price," whispered the witch as she held the bottled potion. The little mermaid returned briefly to her father's palace, where everyone was still sleeping. Her heart filled with redemption, and she suddenly said goodbye to her beloved family and then quickly made her way toward the dark blue waters in the surface. The sun had not risen before until she got caught at the sight of the prince's palace, and she swam up to the beautiful marble stairs. The little mermaid instantly drank the sharp burning potion and felt like her body was split in two. She fainted, collapsing on the steps. When she opened her eyes, she was staring in the face of the handsome prince. She looked at her so earnestly that she glanced down shyly and realized her tail was gone, replaced by human legs. The prince asked who she was and how she got to be there, but she could only look at him sadly because she could not speak. She took her by the hand and led her to the palace. As the witch had predicted, each step felt like she was stepping on ice, but she willingly endured him, feeling as light as a bubble alongside the prince, who marveled at her graceful movements. She was soon given expensive dress made of silk and quickly became the most beautiful creature in the palace, even though she could not speak or sing. During royal banquets, graceful girls dressed in exotic costumes would dance before the prince and his court. One even sang beautifully, and the prince clapped his hands and smiled at her. This made the little mermaid sad, because for she knew that she could sing far more beautifully. If only he knew that I gave my voice forever to be with him, she thought. The girls continued the dancing, so the little mermaid raised her lovely arms, stood on the tips of her toes, and glided across the room dancing as no one had danced before. She looked more beautiful with each step, and everyone was enchanted, especially the prince. She kept dancing, even though it felt like she was treading on lives. The prince said she would never leave him, and the little mermaid's heart nearly burst with joy. Late at night, when everyone was asleep, she would go out to the broad marble steps and cool her burning feet in the cold seawater. Sometimes her sister would swim up to the steps and tell her how unhappy she was that she had left. Another time, she saw her father and her grandmother in the distance, both of them beckoning for her to return. But she could not leave. Her love for the prince was now too strong. With each time, she was more precious to the prince, but yet he loved her. She had no intent of her making his princess. Yet he would have to marry her, or else he would never receive a soul. And on the morning of his wedding to another, she would dive onto foam into the sea. "You remind me of a young girl I once met," said the prince. "I was on a shipwreck, and the waves cast me ashore. She found me on the beach and saved my life. She is the only one in the world that I could ever love. I never saw her again, but you look so much like her." Yet the little mermaid could only smile, knowing that it was she and not the waves that brought him back to the beach. Not long after that, it was talked that the prince would marry a beautiful daughter of a nearby king. The prince's magnificent new ship was prepared for the journey and was filled with capacity with the royal court. Of course, the little mermaid was among them. "I really must go," he told her. "It's time for me to get married. I would never love her as much as the girl on the beach whom you resemble. I would rather choose you." As the ship set sail on the night where everyone was asleep, the helmsman at the ship wheel, the little mermaid sat by the ship's tail rail. Her sisters came up at the waves and looked at her with eyes full of sorrow. She waved at them and smiled, wishing she could tell them that she was happy and all was going well. Soon, the prince would make her his wife, and she would receive her very own soul. The next morning, the ship sailed into the harbor of the neighboring king's capital. Church bells rang, trumpets blared, and soldiers saluted to the prince's arrival. When the princess arrived, the little mermaid was amazed by her beauty and the fact that she looked very similar to each other. The princess had long black hair, clear dark eyes, and graceful movements. "It's you," whispered the prince. "You're the one who rescued me when I was on the beach. Oh, I'm so glad." And she turned to the little mermaid. "I found her, and my greatest wish, more than I have ever hoped for, has been granted." The little mermaid felt her heart breaking, for she knew the day of his marriage also made the day of her death. At the wedding, the little mermaid stood holding the bride's train, listening but not hearing the words being spoken as the prince and the princess join as husband and wife. She was thinking about her last day on earth and all about that she got lost in the world. That same evening, the bride and the groom, all the guests went on board the ship. The cannon roared, the flags waved, in the center of the ship, a glorious tent had been raised. The sails filled with the breeze, and the ship glided lightly across over the clear seas. When it grew dark, colored light lanterns was lit, and everyone began dancing on deck. The little mermaid could not help her thinking of that first time she had come up from the sea and gazed on such joyful events as this. So she joined the dance for one last time, swerving and swooping as lightly as a sparrow. She had never danced elegantly before. Her feet blazed with pain, but she knew nothing, for the wound in her heart was far more painful. She knew that this was the last night she would ever see the prince whom she had given her family, her home, even her lovely voice. This was the last time she would breathe air with him or gaze in the sea and starry night. Eternal night without thoughts or dreams awaited her. Long past midnight, when everyone got to sleep, the little mermaid remained awake and looked at the east for a sign of the coming dawn. The first ray of the sun, she knew, would bring her death. Suddenly, she saw her sisters rising up to sea, but something was wrong. Her long, beautiful hair was no longer wavy in the wind. It had been cut off! We had given all our hair to Sea Witch to help you save you from death. She has given us this knife that you must plunge into the prince's heart before he wakes. When his blood splashes on your feet, they will grow together to form a tail, and you will be a mermaid once more. But hurry, in a few moments the sun will rise. She ducked the knife, and her sister sank back to the sea. Then the ship was completely silent as the little mermaid made her way back where the prince and princess were sleeping. She drew back on the bed curtain and saw the lovely bride sleeping on her with her head on the prince's chest. She bent down and kissed a handsome brow and then looked at the open window where the sea with the rosy dawn was growing brighter and brighter. The little mermaid's hands trembled as she held the knife. She could barely breathe and was shaking so much. She thought that her own breath would surely be better than this. So she stood, turned to the window, and hurled the knife as she stood far out into the seas. With the last glance at the prince from eyes half dim with death, she ran out to the dock and threw herself into the sea, instantly dissolving into white foam. The sea was calm when the sun rose. Its warm and gentle rays fell on the white foam, but the little mermaid did not feel as if she was dying. She could see the bright sun, and hovering above her were hundreds of lovely creatures. She could see right through them, see the white sails of the ship and the clouds too. The little creatures' voices were the voices of the song, yet too otherworldly to be heard by human ears. They had no wings, but the lightness carried them as they floated through the air. The little mermaid saw that they had a body like theirs, and she was rising higher and higher into the white foam. "Where am I?" she asked, and her voice sounded like any other being's, more ethereal than any earthly music could sound. "Among the daughters of the air," answered the others. "A mermaid does not have a soul, and she cannot have one until she wins the power of the full love of the human being. Eternity for her depends on the power inside her. Nor do the daughters of the air have everlasting souls, but do good deeds, they can earn one for themselves. You, poor little mermaid, have tried your whole heart to do as what we are doing. You have suffered and endured and have raised yourself into the world of the spirits of the air. Now with good deeds, you too can earn yourself an everlasting soul." The little mermaid flew down to the ship, and unseen, she kissed the forehead of the bride and smiled at the prince. She raised her arm toward the heavenly sun, and the first time she knew what tears feel like, that she mounted a cloud that was sailing to the sky with the other children of the air. Thank you, and have a great day.